And welcome to Central Standard Friday. You know, in the restaurant community, St. Valentine's Day is one of the busiest nights of the year. The romantic holiday is 6 days away, and if you haven't already made a dinner reservation, you may not be able to get your first choice of restaurant right now. Although the Golden Corral and the Old Country Buffet are still taking people, first come, first serve. If you have not made a reservation, you need to know one thing, that St. Valentine's Day is not the only night of the year to go out for a romantic meal. And we're going to be discussing at this Central Standard Friday, Food Critics Edition, places that are romantic all of the time, every night. It depends what your perception of romantic might be, but we are going to discuss them. Places to go for a seduction, places to go for a mom and dad having a date night out, a place for a first date, and maybe a place to break up. But that'll all happen at the half-hour mark, after the half-hour mark. My name's Charles Ferruza. I'm here with you with our special guest, Lou Jane Temple, who has returned after a long sabbatical.
It is true. After wandering in the wilderness of the East Coast for several years, I have returned home to Kansas City.
And we are so happy to have you.
I'm glad to be back.
And that, of course, is author, novelist, cookbook writer, and former restaurateur Lou Jane Temple. And we also have Christine Basica from Ingram's Magazine. And Christine, you look wonderful as always.
Thank you, but I have none of those elegant titles to put after my name.
Well, I'll add a few that our listeners may not know. Christine Basica, former champion ice skater, tap dancer, and I believe you were an extra in The Great Gatsby in the 1970s.
Exactly, exactly. I was a baby, though.
Well, let's talk about, as we usually do in the first half hour of the Restaurant Critic Show, what new and exciting places have you been to, Chris?
Well, do you want to talk about Rye now?
Yeah, because we could all pitch in.
So okay.
Everyone in the studio has been there now.
Yes, good.
Including our producer, Matthew Long Middleton.
Well, I went the other night. And
you should say, Christine, where this restaurant
is. This is at 10551 Mission Road in the, what is that shopping development?
Mission Woods. Mission Farms.
Mission Farms, yeah. Yes. And I went for dinner. Did you guys go for dinner?
Yes, we did.
Okay. And they also now have brunch, and they've now opened for lunch.
Right,
well.
They just started. Right?
And I thought it was a very cool place, for starters. I thought it was really attractive looking. I liked it.
Compared to its three previous incarnations, it is the most beautiful incarnation yet.
Because indeed.
I thought the last one, Lakeview Tavern, was really dark and ugly.
Yeah, I only went there once.
Okay.
So, but I can see going back to Rye quite often. For starters, I hate to start this way, but we sat in the bar and had a fabulous old-fashioned. And that was a nice start.
Now, Christine, we did notice when I was there with Lou Jane that they have a really imaginative cocktail
list.
They
have a great cocktail list.
And a member of our party, who I will not mention his name, Matthew, had a cocktail that they've developed for the restaurant called a sweet corn fizz.
I wanted to try that, but I didn't. How was it?
I thought he thought it was refreshing, yeah.
Yeah.
It's made with corn water and honey syrup and
moonshine.
Oh, gosh. Well, I had an old-fashioned, which meant, you know, the new old-fashions have lots of fruit and junk in them, which is actually probably why, one of the reasons I like them. But
because they're very healthy that way.
I feel I'm getting my fruit. And, yeah. But it was delicious, and my portly friend had I can't remember which drink he had. My portly friend, that's what I like to call Bill, especially when his dinner consisted of the chicken fried steak and the macaroni and cheese.
I knew I always loved Bill. He's a man after my own heart.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, and we had an appetizer as well, the bruschetta with the spun goat cheese. Did you? Oh, my gosh, that was so good.
We decided to be more healthy than
okay,
you.
Okay, good.
We had the chicken livers and the gizzards.
Oh, how were those? I don't like gizzards. Wonderful, huh?
I don't like gizzards either, so.
Oh.
And they were, I thought they were a little bit chewy.
Oh, okay.
Not that gizzards are ever tender.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I had the fried chicken, and I thought it was absolutely wonderful, and I thought so because on the three pieces of chicken, I was going to eat two of them. I was going to eat the thigh and the leg, mm-hmm. you know, and I ate what I thought was the thigh. It turned out to be the breast. It was smaller than the thigh actually, and I ate it all. As I'm eating, I'm thinking this is really good, but it doesn't really taste like a thigh. And then I realized it wasn't. And it was delicious. And I don't like white meat.
Well, I'm going to ask Lou Jane, because some of the best fried chicken I've ever had in Kansas City was at Cafe Lulu.
Yep.
Didn't you and Mark Manning used to have Nebraska fried chicken?
It was the Mark Manning secret Nebraska recipe. Yes.
For fried chicken.
I'd be killed right now as I walked out the door today if I told you what.
Oh, I want to know.
You have to ask Mark.
Okay.
But it was great fried chicken. And
we should say it's deep fried, but it didn't taste like it tasted like pan fried.
Ours was we pan fried the chicken at Cafe Lulu, but as you know, we were told that evening, the volume that they do, they just simply can't
do pan frying.
Pan frying, they don't have enough burners. And for my eyebrows shot up immediately when he said it was deep fried, but truly it is
good.
Delicious. It's very good job on the fried chicken. And more than the two things that I want to throw into the conversation about rye is, first, John O'Brien of the Dolphin Gallery designed the place, and I think we all know that he does a great job when he is asked to help design a restaurant. He always gives it a little twist that I would never have thought of, and it's nice industrial traditional combo. My friend Susan Welling, who's been living in Napa, said, Louis, when you go out there, you'll see it feels like Rutherford Grill or one of the great restaurants of Napa Valley. And it does have that open California vibe to it.
Although I would say it is probably the most Midwestern menu in Kansas City.
Well, yeah. And that was my,
wasn't next, that a nice
my
surprise?
Next point is that truly Colby wants to make this a renaissance, if you will, of Midwestern food. And we talked about it quite a bit the other night. And the to me, it makes perfect sense because Southern food is so popular right now. And really, Southern food and farm food and French food, they're all about the same thing, which is using every part of the animal, not being wasteful, using up everything, mm-hmm. being inventive in the ways that you do that. Smoking meats to preserve them, and so I think he has a wonderful point that we can have a renaissance of Midwestern food.
It reminded me. It seems like he sort of tapped into this kind of a gestalt of restaurants that don't exist anymore in Kansas City, including a couple that I never got a chance to go to, like the Wishbone. But you know, we're talking you know, heavier foods,
yeah.
Sunday afternoon kind of foods, but real comfort food. And I thought it was a charming place. I liked every single thing. You haven't had the short ribs yet, have you?
No,
they're the best short ribs in Kansas City.
Really?
Other than the ones that Lou Jane Temple makes, but really tender, really wonderful, and.
And I had the trout, which was an excellent, and it was a very modern dish. It was not, a fried over a mountain stream kind of trout.
Yeah, yeah. I understand the catfish is delicious.
I didn't see catfish on the menu.
Oh.
Did you bring a menu?
I did. I'm looking for catfish. Maybe I made that up.
I mean, I'd be happy to have it, but
maybe it was a special. This is a good time
to remind our listeners that you are listening to the Food Critics edition of Central Standard Friday, and the phone lines are open if you would like to call us. The telephone number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you could send us an email to centralstandard@kcor.org.
One final note about that place. Did you guys have dessert, or were you strictly into health?
No. We had dessert.
What did you have?
Pie.
Did you have the mocan pie?
We had that mocan pie.
Oh, my gosh. That was so good. I was in heaven. I loved it.
It's sort of like a pecan pie, but it's made with black walnuts and pecans and molasses. And I was pleased, as my fellow diners were, that it wasn't as jarringly sweet as
pecan. Oh, it wasn't sweet. Yeah, I thought it just was nutty, flavorful, yummy.
And I love black walnuts, and they are not—they're underused.
Yes.
Because they're such a strong flavor, you know.
And because they're such a pain
yeah.
to crack,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I thought that was really well worth your time and money.
And they serve with the dinners. They serve corn muffins made with fresh corn and jalapenos, mm-hmm. and from scratch Parker House rolls.
Yes,
you can't
beat
that.
Which were really good.
They were really good. You know, although I'm ready for a restaurant. Does anyone remember Mrs. Peter's Fried Chicken
yes.
in Kansas City, Kansas?
Yes.
Oh, they had the best. They had the best baking powder biscuits I've ever had in anywhere probably, and I could have eaten a whole tray of them.
Well, you know, that's a hard thing to get right.
Right.
I as someone who's been trying my whole life
Me
to
too.
Make a good biscuit, I'm still not there.
Sometimes I'll make a halfway decent biscuit, but mostly I'm in the Ellie Mae Clampett biscuit making category.
In other words, they could be used for weapons.
Yes, yeah. And I have used them as such. Anyway, the switchboard is starting to fill up at 816-235-2888. Christy, I'm trying to think where else new we have been.
Well, I went to the movies and ate at the Alamo.
Oh, tell us.
And I was expecting, I thought the movie would be good and the food would just be kind of not so.
And it was the other way around?
Well, the movie actually was good, but the food we had was even delicious. I just had a chicken sandwich. It was a delicious chicken sandwich. I don't know how they did it. I don't know. It was big. It was broiled. It was juicy. It was just really, really good.
Now, is this where you order off the menu before the movie starts?
No, you go in and you sit. Well, yeah, I guess so, because we were there a little before, and the waitress came in and she explained the whole thing, and then we wrote down what we wanted. And they have everything from popcorn and M&Ms to drinks, to salads, which I saw a couple of those go by, which looked very, very good.
May I ask what movie you were
seeing? We saw The Life of Pi. We're a little late on, you know, that's a really neat movie to watch. But it was so comfortable and so nice. I'm like, you know, I would go there.
What are some of the entrees they have, if they have them?
I'll go past the seasonal drink specials. And they have probably six or seven salads. They have all kinds of like turkey, chicken Caesar wraps. They have burgers, which looked huge.
Now, is this all hand food, or
yeah.
Yeah.
There's not you
don't have a steak or a baked potato.
No. But you can have a bourbon milkshake, should you be so inclined. It's hand food. Okay. Not mostly, it is hand food. But it was really good, and I was really surprised.
My take on it was, first of all, this is a successful company from Austin, Texas.
Right.
They've done this before,
right.
You know. I loved, of course, I loved getting served a drink while I'm sitting there with my feet up. But the thing that impressed me the most about the food was we ordered popcorn, and it came in a big ceramic bowl.
Wow.
I know it. It was like, wow.
And you can get real butter.
And
real butter?
Real butter,
yeah.
That's what they say.
And the rest of the – we ordered burgers. And I was distracted by having the food while I was watching the movie. I didn't really enjoy that. But I would definitely go back and have a drink and popcorn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And this – I think it's a neat concept. And now the Ward Parkway – well, not having the food at the Ward Parkway one, they do have a bar and Barca loungers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
in every auditorium?
I don't know about that. That's
okay.
A good question. But every auditorium that I was at over the Christmas season when my kids were here and we were going to movies had Barca loungers, which we loved.
Wow.
This also has assigned seating. I mean, you pick your seats, which is really, really nice. And I don't know how the waitresses do it because they have to walk with their knees bent. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, an old Groucho Marx as they walk because they don't want them to interfere with your view. And they do a good job of that. So I just thought it was very, very fun. I'm not crazy about having my seat rumble, you know, when I'm not doing it, having my seat rumble to really loud music.
Oh, okay.
You know, or during the storm. I don't personally need that, but it's all about making a movie an experience.
You could possibly maybe drop your hamburger when that happens.
Well, You could. You all could right. indeed.
Now, I will say that the news I have heard lately is that Pandolfi's Deli, which is that sweet little Italian delicatessen in Columbus Park, in the old La Patina funeral home, they have started serving dinners again on Friday and Saturday nights. They have a new chef, Daniel Breedlove, and that's a fun place to go to.
Where is that, Charles?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I'm going to have to ask.
It's on Campbell.
It's on Campbell. Okay. And it's, I can tell you this, it is north of the Don Bosco Center and south of the Vietnam Cafe.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
And I had a good lunch there the other day. It's a fun place. I read, maybe in the pitch even, that, although I didn't write this, Filio is moving.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're...
No, I don't know. No.
Okay, then. Well, that's interesting. That'll be fun to see where they move.
Yeah, wherever.
That's a great spot.
It is a great spot. I think it's been underutilized for a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
And I remember its first incarnation. Do you remember what the first restaurant that opened in that space was?
No.
Something with a pearl?
Alice Wong's.
Alice Wong's. Yeah.
Alice Wong's. Oh.
Yeah. In fact, that opened, I think, the same week as Cafe Lulu.
Mm-hmm.
See, my 1980s memory is great. Wow. Everything after that or before that is
that's pretty impressive.
Is awful. 816-235-2888 if you want to join the conversation. We're talking about restaurants with Chris Basica and Lou Jane Temple. We've talked about new places, Rye, and some not-so-new places.
I have I think it's still in the category of rumor, but a pretty good rumor that the house in the west side that was Lily's,
last incarnation Lil's,
on 17th Street there, right around the corner from Bluebird, is going to be opened soon again as a new restaurant, and the chef is someone who worked in New York with David Chang at Momofuku, and I think was originally from Kansas City and has moved back. And I don't know who it is, and perhaps somebody out there will tell us. But that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always excited. It's always exciting to hear new restaurants opening.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
More exciting to hear about new restaurants opening than old restaurants closing.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I do. I did. Got one more place I just wanted to briefly mention
because
other people may already be familiar with it, but Sarpino's is a pizza place, and it's a rather large chain, and they opened relatively a short time ago, I believe, in Shawnee, and they have several different restaurants. They've got them in Overland Park, Leawood, Westport, Lee Summit, Vivian. They're also in some. They're like in the hospitals. Some hospitals. Any rate, 6232 Neiman Road. It's mostly a carryout place, entirely. I would say a carryout place, or they deliver. And I don't eat much carryout pizza, but they had thin crust. They had lots of varieties. It was very, very good. And that was a lovely. It's just been a surprising week for me. What can I say?
I want to recap where we have been and talked about so far. Chris, would you remind our listeners where Rye is? And we should say that Rye is the, I don't know if we said this already, but Rye is the creation of Colby and Megan Geraltz, who own the Blue Stem restaurant in Westport. And they've had Blue Stem for quite a long time. And now Rye is their new place at
Mission Farms, and it's at 105th and Mission Road.
And we also, I believe, talked about Pandolfi's Deli, which we don't have the exact address yet, but we will. And that's in Columbus Park. And another caller asked about the Alamo Theater.
Which is in downtown Kansas City at 1400 Main.
It's the old Empire Theater.
And we actually, they have parking nearby, and it's not that big a pain. We parked on the street. We got lucky, but
I meant to ask you: are all of the auditoriums in that theater, because it's a multiplex, are they all serving food?
Yes. As far as I, you know what? Dine in. Yes. Yes. They all are.
All right.
So,
would you go back? Oh, and what are the prices like?
Oh, the prices were. I think the pizzas were. I don't know. My Bud Light was $3.95, I think. Pizzas are $10. $11. The burgers are burgers. They do kind of a fun thing. The burgers are $11. The chicken sandwich I had was $11.
Do you get anything with it? Do you get some fries with that burger?
I got yes. I had extra crispy fries with my chicken sandwich, and they were extra crispy. And they were good, and we ate them all.
Well, all right.
So that
we talked about the Alamo. Is it called the Alamo Draft House?
Yes. The Alamo Draft House Cinema, 1400 Main.
Okay. And do you have to make reservations to eat
you
there?
You probably should on weekends because I don't know that you can get in. The theaters are all relatively small. So you need
and
to call
said,
it or do it online.
They have reserved seating. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Alamo Draft House, Rye in Mission Farms.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed, by the way, and I have not been there yet, but when I had dinner with Matthew and Lou Jane, right across the street in that second development across from Mission Farms, the new Pizzabella seems to be open.
Yes. Yeah, I noticed that too. And I haven't been there either.
No, nor have I, but I'm sure it's
But I do like Pizzabella, and if they have their Brussels sprouts, I'm there.
Me too.
Or Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about where the romantic places to dine are in Kansas City. And you are back with us on Central Standard Friday. I'm Charles Ferruzzo with The Pitch and The Pitch's food blog, Fat City, at pitch.com. I'm joined by novelist, cookbook author, former restaurateur, and former rock and roll caterer, Lou Jane Temple.
Glad to be here,
back from
Charles.
A long sabbatical. And Christine Basica, former tap dancer, ice skater, novelist, and she writes for Ingram's Magazine, too.
Yes. Okay.
And we are going to be talking about romantic places to dine. And Lou Jane, as a former restaurateur, and I can tell you as a former waiter, one of my least favorite nights to work, although it was always lucrative, was Valentine's night.
Well, my suggestion to every listener we have is to consider Valentine's a whole week-long celebration.
That's a good way to put it.
I love to do that with my birthday. You know, my birthday is a birthday month. So I think Valentine week is the best way to go about this. And if you go on the day, on Valentine's Day, you are going to be on the clock.
Yeah.
Everybody in the restaurant is timing you for your time. The waiter wants to get three turns. The kitchen, you know, wants to get you out of there. And so my suggestion is make a reservation at the wonderful place of your choice, which we'll talk about some later, on another day next week, right.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the week, dole out all those wonderful things that we love to get for Valentine's Day. One day, bring flowers. One day, bring a fabulous Valentine's card. One day, bring chocolates. And perhaps on Valentine's Day, you, if you are not the usual cook at your house, can cook for your family. And if it's the opposite way, if you're the one that always cooks, then you know, you get them to do it. And just avoid restaurants until Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Tuesday before.
Right, right.
And you will have a much more pleasant experience.
And most of them are running the same meals, if you want to do the prefix. Most of them are running meals through, since it's Valentine's is a Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And so they're all running them on Friday and Saturday nights as well.
That is correct. And, you know, and some people really don't want to pay that price for a Valentine's meal, which is why a lot of restaurants are also offering the regular
right.
menu. I will say that in my long tenure as a waiter, a couple of times, it was very grim, it was unpleasant, not so much for me, but that the romantic Valentine's dinner somehow turned out to be the dinner where they broke up.
Yeah.
Either they didn't like the gift or they were ready to get rid of each other.
Yeah. One final splurge and that's it. Yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye. But we are ready to take your phone calls where you think a great romantic restaurant is at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or send us an email to centralstandard@kcor.org. We've got a lot of tweets here. And the if you want to send a tweet, it's KCOR, at KCORCST. Bradley tweets that the American is a romantic dining spot that tops his list. I would say that's a very nice one.
Yes, it is.
John adds to Bradley's feelings on Facebook, the American still has romance, and the first date with my wife, that's where we went 35 years ago.
Aww.
Carrie writes, Poropos in Parkville, beautiful view of downtown Parkville, romantic setting. And Richard writes that his most favorite romantic spot, dining spot, Town Topic on Broadway.
Yay, a man after your own heart.
I actually met a romantic
person. That's what you mentioned in the pitch, yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I had stumbled in drunk one night, and I stumbled out with a date. Yeah. 816-235-2888. We were talking about romantic restaurants. Not necessarily St. Valentine's Day romantic restaurants, but romantic places you can go anytime. I think sometimes a morning after breakfast could be the most romantic meal of all. And in some cases, maybe not. But yes. Louis, where have you had your most romantic meal in Kansas City?
Well, of course, you probably would remember this because I have mentioned it lately when we took Marion Ross to
the Savoy.
To the Savoy. Marion Ross was here performing in a play at the Dinner Theater, and she wanted to go to the Savoy because it had been a favorite of she and her partner. And we went, and I said, well, I think I can really one-up you, Marion. I have been asked to propose to twice at the Savoy and asked for a divorce once. So I think I have a really big record at the Savoy. But you know, as old-fashioned as it is, and as I think we all don't think about going there anymore, those booths are pretty romantic.
Oh, my gosh,
and the room is fantastic.
There's something so elegant about the formal service. And I would say that the Savoy is a very romantic restaurant. I'll tell you another one that's high on my romantic list, although I did break up in that twice, is at the restaurant formerly known as the Raphael Restaurant, currently known as Chaz on the Plaza. Right. It's sort of dark and
it was.
Cozy.
It was. It's not anymore.
It's not dark
Chaz.
At night?
No.
Really?
No. It's very comfortable and pleasant, but it doesn't, and it does still have some booths. Which I think is sort of one of my criteria is a
yes.
booth, but it's not dark,
and it has those kind of back rooms that are not very big.
Yeah,
they just have a couple tables.
Right.
Well, and I must say that having a friend who lives in that row of apartment buildings, we often meet there, and it really is a great place to meet and have a drink.
Yeah.
They have live music lots of times, and
you
it's not
dance.
Overpowering.
I think you can dance there, can't
yeah.
you?
And it's kind of like 1940s, you know. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I like Chaz.
Now, I will say that a moment of silence here for one of my very, very favorite romantic restaurants that is no longer with us. But I used to love Skies on the top of the Hyatt Regency because, well, it was the last spinning restaurant we had in Kansas City that actually revolved. And, you know, depending on who you were with, you didn't know if your head was spinning from lust or if it was just the mechanics.
Yeah.
let's go to Mark. Mark in Liberty, are you with us?
I am.
Mark, where's your romantic getaway place?
Roselle Court at the Nelson.
Oh.
Okay.
Why do you like it?
I like the ambiance. I like the food. The music on the weekends is very nice.
Cool.
Okay. Well, that's a good choice, though.
It is.
I've never found that place to be especially intimate. It's kind of a big room.
Yeah.
And I always worry that people can hear you.
Reverberate off the walls
yeah.
and the floors.
Yeah, that you know, you're expressing sweet nothings to each other, and the person sitting five tables away is somehow listening to every word of your conversation. I don't know that that's
true. It's those gothic arches.
I know
they push sound.
I've never even thought of that. I like the little fountain in there. You know, that they usually keep running during meals, and I like that.
I think the sound of water is always alluring.
Yeah, I do too.
You know? What do you think about EBT as a romantic restaurant?
That's on my list.
Well, tell us what else is on your list, Christy.
Well, can I first say my criteria?
Please.
Okay, because I sort of regard romantic meals as not two meals, and two is T-O-O. The place has to be not too bright, not too noisy. seats have to be not too close together. Can't be too open. It is, and there can't be too many children there, if any. So I look at not twos, and I think a booth is really important. I think good service, which is unobtrusive, is important.
Attentive, but not obnoxious.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And I also think you need to have a really good meal brought to you. So those are my criteria.
Those are excellent, by the way.
We've already mentioned the American. I don't think we've mentioned Pierpont's, which I think is a lovely. And this year they're doing something kind of fun. You can eat there on Thursday night. I don't know if they're doing this all three nights. And then go watch the movie Casablanca, which is kind of a fun.
Where are they screening the movie?
In that little theater that they have it.
In Union Station?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. So I think that would be kind of a very fun.
That is the most romantic movie ever.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be really fun. I like JJ's as a romantic place.
Okay.
It not so boothy, but I think that's nice. And I'm going to save my last one for later.
All right. We'll hold that. Let's go to Chris in Overland Park. Chris.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi, Chris.
Okay, I really love EBT's, short for Emory Bird Theater, which they moved the elevator cages
right
out of the old department store downtown, out to the restaurant, which is at State Line, just south of 430 Line.
435.
Of 435. And my question is, I love the restaurant. It's beautifully decored. My question is, they used to serve Chateaubriand, which they do not anymore, and was wondering if you all knew anybody who does.
That is a great question. You know, one of the things that EBT used to do a lot, it was the restaurant in Kansas City where you could still get flambé dishes like
yes.
Steak Diane
right.
and Bananas Foster.
That had to be made at the table.
Right. And
they still do a Caesar.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know it's not exciting, but nonetheless, it's nice.
You know, I was recently, and our callers hopefully can chime in here at 816-235-2888, but I was at a restaurant recently where I was surprised to see Chateaubriand for two on the menu because it's not something you see very often.
No, you don't anymore.
Well, hopefully someone will call and let us know where it's available because I don't remember seeing it.
And also, you know, Steak Diane prepared tableside. That's also very, very romantic, too. Not that I, you know, ever had it that often. But, you know, I'll tell you, if you're in love enough, and I've personally experienced this, if your love is deep enough, even a cafeteria can be romantic.
Well, that's so sweet. I do think being with someone you like or love would be a really helpful thing on Valentine's.
Or any romantic time.
Yes,
you know?
I mean, any romantic time. I also think a good bottle of wine helps a lot.
You know, in the 1970s, I worked for a restaurant chain called Steak and Ale. And the waitresses were called wenches, and they had to wear the off-the-shoulder. And I'm embarrassed to say that I thought that was really a romantic place at the time.
They had booths, and it was dark.
Yeah, yeah.
And flowered carpet, as I recall.
And they had fake pewter salad plates. I do remember those. I think I still have a couple in my kitchen. Let's go to Gerald in Waldo. Gerald.
Hi.
Gerald, where is a romantic place for you?
YJ Snack Bar, downtown.
YJ Snack Bar. Now, why would that be romantic?
It's really small. It's like a 15-seater. It's really old. It has like really old drink menus on there. And dinner special. Every day.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Gerald. I want to cogitate on that because I do not find that place romantic in the least, but it is cozy.
Yeah.
And it's arty.
It's arty.
You know?
Yeah.
But romantic, I wouldn't have thought of that. That's interesting. Mm. I bet something fabulous happened to him at YJ's. So it'll always be romantic to him.
You know, if something fabulous happened to me at YJ's, I might have a much better opinion of that place than I do. But yes. But, you know, places can be so offbeat in the sense of what you think is romantic. I do like romantic places to be dark.
Dark. Yeah, I agree.
Well,
Not too dark.
My experiences at YJ's are that everybody has always listened to all of my conversations there. So for romance, that wouldn't be that much that good, you know.
Although it would be fun to start saying outrageous things.
Now, it's funny because I'm not going to actually go with that story after all, but, you know, there's just some romantic stories that I think are best left unsaid.
Well, I think the point really is that romance depends on who you're with and what happens during that meal and how you feel. And a great restaurant is going to enhance all of that, and a mediocre restaurant should just not impinge upon it too much.
Has anyone ever experienced, I've only experienced it as a waiter waiting on the couple that did this, but twice it's happened in my restaurant career where I was a waiter where the gentleman had his had a glass of champagne delivered to his lady dining companion with a diamond ring in it.
With a diamond ring in it.
I know it.
Did they swallow?
No.
It worked out.
She cried. I cried. I got a big tip. It was happy for everybody. 816-235-2888. As you can tell, we're having a little bit of technical issues with our telephone, but we're going to take care of that. And so, Lou Jane, the Savoy, was that the only place you've ever been proposed to in your long and illustrious romantic career?
No, it isn't. I think that once at the American, and, you know,
I'm assuming you didn't say yes to all of these
people.
No,
I kind of stopped saying yes, but I do remember them, you know. I remember them all with great affection. it's fun to still be asked, even if you have decided that you're a terrible wife and probably should never get married again. That was my assessment of my marriage career. But I was once at the American, and I think something like, you know, as you know, Charles, I lived across from the famous Town Topic on Broadway for about 10 years. And I think a great many kinds of proposals happened to me there. I wouldn't say they were marriage proposals.
I think I got a few of those proposals too, by different people, of course. Christine, where were you? Where did Bill propose to you? Was it in a restaurant?
Nope.
How sad for a conversation anyway.
Yeah. Sorry, it wasn't. It was at KU and not a restaurant involved in sight. So
we have an email from Alan and Waldo who suggests Louis Wine Bar in the neighborhood. I like Louis Wine Bar. I think it's so noisy in there that I don't think the person getting proposed to or seduced would hear anything.
Well, maybe you don't go Saturday night to do a proposal. And
I'm going to tell you, I was there on a weeknight.
Oh, and it was
so noisy in there. Oh. But, you know, I think that is actually one of the draws. I think people like it that it's so noisy.
And isn't
if you don't want to talk to people, I think it's perfect.
Louis Wine Joint.
Wine Joint,
yes.
Yeah.
Wine Joint, yeah.
Let's try the phones again. Let's go to Jim in Independence. Jim, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Good. And where do you like to go for a romantic evening?
Oh, we like to go to Ophelia's on the square in Independence.
Ophelia's on the square.
That's a nice place. Yeah.
Not the coziest, but it's a kind of a big place.
Yeah, but it's attractive.
Well, but it has booths, and you know, on the weekends they have the live piano player.
Okay. You know what? Live piano music.
I was just going to say, music is nice. It is important, and if it's a place that normally plays raucous rock and roll, maybe on Valentine's night they shouldn't.
Piano's great. Hey, Charles, what was the name of that great place that we went to in Independence that was somebody's antique store?
And Vivalor.
I think Vivalor would be quite
romantic.
Yeah.
Have you been there yet?
No.
Vivalor is in the old historic Englewood neighborhood of Independence. Mm-hmm. It's in a building that was occupied for many, many years by the famous Sermon Anderson design firm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a brother and sister have bought it and have turned it into a real sweet kind of a it's sort of a like Webster House. It's a combination restaurant and retail
gallery.
And,
yeah. I'll tell you an interesting place that's having a Valentine's night dinner, and that is Cozy's Cafe off 75th and Metcalf. And what I think is cute about it is, of course, they don't serve alcohol. And I think they have an accordion player coming, And
you know what? Nothing says love to me like accordion music. I don't know about you.
I think it's an accordion or bag or something. And she has a special dinner and white tablecloths that night.
She's a sweet lady.
She is wonderful.
Cozy.
Cozy. She's, yeah.
Cosetta. Let's go to Lana. Lana, are you on the air?
Yes, I am. Okay. Hi. I was just reminiscing with my husband here, one of our favorite romantic restaurants from about 25 or 30 years ago was La Mediterranee.
Oh, yes.
We used to love to order their rack of lamb.
That was a charming place.
Yes, it was.
Then it moved out to Johnson County, and then it moved to Great Beyond.
Yeah.
Never to.
Right.
Yeah, that was actually in the glory days of the Plaza, mm-hmm. where there were still a lot of independent restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the most unique restaurant on the Plaza. In terms of, it was European, it was very intimate, it was very...
Yeah, and the food was very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
It was lovely. I remember a brick wall that we used to sit by, and there was a fire, and yes, the food was delicious. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, Lana, now, where do you and your husband go for a romantic meal?
Well, do you know, we just flew in from Charlotte, North Carolina. I had your program on, and we're driving, so we're not living in Kansas City any longer, so golly, Mark, you're asking what our favorite restaurant would be. Now we head for our favorite Mexican, which is Fronteras in Olathe.
Oh, really? I've never been there. Okay.
But it's not very romantic, but it is a great, authentic Mexican food.
A Mexican food makes you feel good. So that's part of romance, you know.
There you go. There you go. Well, we're enjoying your show, and thank you so much.
Thank you. And let's go to Adam. Adam in Westport, you wanted to talk about Tannin?
Yeah, Tannin Wine Bar in Crossroads.
That's a great idea.
I think that's, what, a 15th and Walnut? Would that be about right?
Yeah, 15th or 16th. It's where I proposed to my wife, and the whole management and staff was wonderful to work with. They had Mark Lowry playing piano music there, and the food was wonderful, too.
Now, did you drop an engagement ring and a glass of wine?
You know, I don't know. I didn't get that done. I actually just kind of, we actually forgot about the engagement ring because we were just up dancing and listening to Mark's great music. So
that's great.
And she said yes, right?
She said yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was wonderful, and everybody clapped. And I just didn't trust the champagne not to damage the ring, I guess.
Oh, that's what a practical way of thinking of it. Yeah.
They brought us some wonderful champagne afterwards. I really can't recommend them enough. They've been wonderful to us.
That's great.
Nice.
That actually reminded me of something I had completely forgotten about. But the very first restaurant I worked at in Kansas City, and this would have been in 1986. We had a regular customer, a dentist, who came in often with different women on different nights. And I'll never forget this, that he proposed to one woman on a Friday night, and he proposed to another one on Saturday. I never find out what the end of that story was. let's go to Brad in Prairie Village. Brad?
Hi there.
Where is a romantic place for you?
One of the little inset booths at the Raphael.
Yeah,
Chaz on the Plaza.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
On the Plaza, and my wife likes it so much. She says, well, "Let's go eat at Ralph's Basement Diner."
Perfect.
That is historically one of the great romantic spots of Kansas City.
It is, and the great thing about it is they have valet parking. You know, it's you drive your car up and someone whisks it away. It's amazing.
And sometimes you get it back. Yeah.
Hey, and it's the magnificent food, too.
They do have magnificent food. Thank you. And let's go to Sheila. Sheila in the Northland.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'd love to go to Cafe Decimi in Parkville.
Hmm.
That's very romantic. Especially, I think that outdoor patio is maybe the most romantic patio in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Not tonight, though.
No, not tonight.
No, not in February.
But the food's fabulous. The decor is fabulous. It's so intimate. The staff is fabulous. I love it. It's very romantic.
You know, I would say that it's. I think it's a lot easier for a French restaurant to be more romantic. Don't you?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think why.
Well, it's French. There's just something glamorous about the language and the history of, you know. French cuisine. And, you know, French cuisine is heavy on the aphrodisiacs, if you think about it.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Sheila. We do have time for a couple more phone calls at 816-235-2888. And, you know, there's certain ethnic cuisines that I think are more romantic than others. Like when Louis said that Mexican, I never think of Mexican cuisine as especially romantic, but it does make you feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more of an up positive thing. And if you think about when you go to Mexican restaurants, it's
the music,
a lot of people. It's lively. But French cuisine, I think, is romantic. And maybe it's because of our thinking about the French.
Ooh la la.
Yes, exactly. One place that I think we should not forget about, he reminded me when he started talking about the Crossroads, is the Rieger. I think the Rieger has a kind of a romantic vibe to it.
You know, I would not have agreed with you at one point, but I know so many couples that really believe that.
Yeah.
They have had some of the most romantic nights. It's a noisy restaurant on a busy night, but it is kind of sexy.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Let's see. Harrison writes on Twitter, Accursos, which is at, I believe, 50th and Main. Slightly cramped, but definitely romantic.
Well, I think Italian, if we talk about foods, I
sexy
think Italian
cuisines.
Food, yeah. It's fun and it's kind of sexy.
It worked for my parents.
And look at the results.
I know it, yeah. 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. Yeah, my parents did get engaged in an Italian restaurant.
Did they?
Yes.
So do these people all get down, do the men get down on one knee or the women get down on one knee?
It's funny you should say that because my father, who it wasn't exactly a shy and retiring type, did not want people to see him give the engagement ring to my mother. So he asked her to put her hand under the table.
Uh-huh.
She put her hand under the table. He put the engagement ring on her finger and said, "Let's not talk about this anymore." 816-235-2888.
A true romantic.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
That sort of set the tone for the rest of our marriage, too. Let's go to Dylan. Dylan in Lenexa.
Hello.
Hello, Dylan. Where do you like to go for a romantic evening?
My favorite romantic place is Bellinopoly in Brookside.
Really? Oh. Now, why would you pick that as a romantic place?
Well, I think the food really and the atmosphere. I love Brookside, the area. It's a great place to go walk after a meal and go out, get some great food.
Now, I'll tell you a place in Brookside that I think, in my never-to-be-humble opinion, is a little more romantic than that would be Domo, you know, the sushi place.
Yes, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's a very sexy kind of restaurant. And, you know, some people think sushi is sexy, I guess. It's
one thing that I will agree with our caller about is the food at Bellinopoly, which was just a grocery store when I left and now has food. It is delicious.
Is it a full-service restaurant or do you order at a counter? I haven't eaten there in a long time.
It is full-service, yes.
Oh, great. Great. Okay.
Need to go back.
Now, do you live in Lenexa, Dylan?
Yes.
Where's a romantic place to eat in Lenexa if there is such a place?
I mean, there's some great food, but I don't know if I'd go as far as saying romantic.
Okay. Well, I just wondered. You know, you never think of Lenexa as, you know, the Paris of the plains, but maybe. Oh, this is a good call. Hold on, because I agree with this one. Rachel, are you with us?
I am.
Rachel, where is your romantic spot? Because this is a good one.
My husband and I enjoy Le Frou Frog.
Mm-hmm. It's very romantic. Yeah. What now, did you get proposed to at that restaurant?
No, but it was one of the first places that we went to for a romantic dinner moving from the East Coast to Kansas City.
And what is your favorite thing to order at Le Frou Frog?
I prefer escargot.
They have great snails.
Yeah, speaking of aphrodisiac dishes, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Exactly.
Great. Well,
I wanted to suggest, I do know of a place out in Johnson County that serves Chateaubriand. I know you had another caller who wanted to know.
Where is it?
Gaslight Grill in Leawood.
Okay.
It's on 135th between Rowe and Knoll.
You know, Rachel, that's an excellent choice because that's a real old school kind of restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what the Chateaubriand for two would cost. Who cares? If you're in love, you're worth it.
That's
yes. Okay. Hey, thank you, Rachel.
That's the right attitude to have, too, Charles.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
It hasn't necessarily worked for me personally, but let's go to John. John, what restaurant has special memories for you?
Well, you might find this a little strange, but it's Macaroni Grill.
I do find that strange, actually, but why?
Well, so much of romance, you know, is memories associated with a place, and this is where my wife and I go for most of our special events, for birthdays, for our anniversary and stuff. We used to frequent the one here in Independence before, you know, when the chain was bought out, they closed the ones that they did not actually own. Okay. And so that, and we went to the very last day that they served. We were among the last customers they had there. And then we started going to Overland Park, and love there because we have this great waitress, Jamie.
I've got to close this, but does she sing to you?
Okay.
Okay, well, maybe she, you know, the servers used to sing there. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Our show is produced today by Matthew Long Middleton. Our announcer is Kim Noble, who would like someone to take her out for Chateaubriand. And thanks to my fellow food critics today, Chris Basica and Lou Jane Temple, and to everybody who called in. Remember, you can find a list of all of the restaurants we mentioned today at kcor.org, Central Standard Friday, and archival recordings and podcasts of all of our previous shows. Up to Date is next with the indie, foreign, and documentary film critics. I'm Charles Ferruza, and this is Central Standard Friday. Enjoy your food in Kansas City today.